Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
brought to us by Moon107.com. Moon107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Moon 107 is an online retail store featuring women's and men's clothing and a gift shop. The woman's shop features stylish tunics, suits, and accessories and offers the well-dressed woman an outlet to find the perfect gift for self or for someone else. The men's shop offers classy French cuffed shirts for the well-dressed man. The gift shop offers organic skin, hair, bath accessories, and inspirational music imported from Africa, India, and Asia, as well as jewelry and accessories. Moon 107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Don't forget to visit Moon107.com.
M-A-U-N-107.
This portion of The Keys was brought to you by the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, a virtual entrepreneurial service agency designed to increase productivity for small businesses operating and servicing urban communities worldwide. Remember, the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, ENY. You can find us on Facebook.
Brother James, co-hosting with Sister Rafika Muhammad today on our blog talk radio show called The Keys. It's opening the doors to new and endless possibilities. Today, we will have a profound speaker and entrepreneur on our line who will help guide us into understanding how to do for ourselves. Before we introduce her, we'll go into some of the things that we customarily talk about when we open up The Keys radio show. The Keys is more than just a talk show. It is actually a theme to help us to draw people together with knowledge to help those who need upliftment, instruction, and encouragement. Our seven keys that we focus on to give us, bring us to a closer reality to love, peace, and happiness is the first and foremost spirituality, divine guidance. We will have guest speakers on to us about how we can improve ourselves spiritually. We will have educators, which is our second point of keys. Education is such a key because it helps us develop our mental and our intellectual pursuits. So we need to focus on all these areas, but we want to make sure that as you come to our show, that everybody gets something every time we go on the air. Our physical bodies is our temple. We want to make sure that we are nourishing our bodies, growing, and helping our children to be better fit to deal with the elements in that world. Our fourth key is financial. We've been steadily on the financial topic this month. We are looking at going from wealth to health, and so stay tuned. As we continue down the road of finances and dealing with entrepreneurs and money matters, we will shift in about 2 weeks into the health matters. So we also have the fifth and sixth keys, emotional. We want to deal with relationships and how we can foster wholesome relationships with one another, whether we be a son or a daughter, a mother or father, a business partner. We have to be able to know how to be brothers to our brothers and sisters to our sisters, and we will bring folks in who will talk to us in that matter to help us become a more healthier family. We want to deal with our entertainment, our arts, and our sciences because we want to ensure that our youth know that we have been contributing to this society and that they must continue that legacy of bringing things forward that will help us in our communities. whether it's in the science area or whether it's in the arts area, whether it's entertainment. We want to see those people before us and have conversations with them. And lastly, the reason why we're on the air is because the notion came about and was struck to us by Sister Rafika, Moon 107, meaning acts of kindness. It's about what's going on in our community. Why haven't we heard from folks when they do something extremely well, something extremely kind? We need to hear those type of stories. We need to be socially aware. So we want to hear from you all out there as we're going to create a platform where we can speak about the goodness of our community instead of always having to focus on the negative things that are happening in our environment. And with all things, when we bring a guest speaker on, we're going to speak to the good, the bad, and the ugly, because all these things affect us in a profound way. So welcome to the Keys, my brothers and my sisters, and for those of you who may be partaking in the wonderful month of Ramadan as it's coming to a close, Ramadan Mubarak to my brothers and sisters, Ramadan Kareem. Now, Sister Rafika, it's your show.
Thank you, Brother James. I don't know if we can call it my show. It's our show. It's the community show. Welcome to Saturday evening broadcast of the Keys. We're very excited today. We have such a special guest today to speak to you about our business, and we're keeping in our topic for the month of August, which is finance and business. We have Sister LaShawn Allen Muhammad, who is going to join us very shortly. But I just wanted to just tell you how excited we've been with our past two guests, Dr. DeForest B. Sories, who talked about breaking free from financial slavery. He's a pastor, he's a teacher, a community activist, and a motivational speaker. And while he was with us, he talked about his D-Free program that has a program to help you understand your spending habits, which is one of the fundamental steps towards living debt-free. Also, we had Brother Greg J.G. Jones, who's a financial advisor, a planner, who talked about starting a business from incorporating to understanding the importance of credit scores, and not just your FICO score, but your Dun & Bradstreet score. And he also talked about the process of filing and getting your ID number with Dun & Bradstreet. And he said it's a must-have tool for businesses in terms of trying to secure loans and function as a legitimate, quote-unquote, small business. And just to let you know that all those shows that I just mentioned are archived on the Keys website under Nation Building. And you can listen in live while we're talking now via your computer. You can download the app and listen on your smart device. Those shows are available for you 24 hours. Just log on and kick in. Also, as James mentioned, the show is sponsored by Moon 107, Rafika Consultants and Services, and the Flux Present the Alphabet, a children's ABC book. So we have Sister LaShawn Allen Muhammad, who is the CEO of Entrepreneurs of New York, ENY, a New York-based, nationally operated entrepreneurial service agency. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about what is an entrepreneurial service agency and what is its function. It says ENY is designed to increase productivity for small businesses in urban communities. And I'm not going to delay it any longer, but I just want you to meet Sister LaShawn Allen Muhammad.
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome. Greetings. Welcome to the Keys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. And what a beautiful day it is. It was just terrible raining this morning, but the sun came out and the clouds are there and the sky is blue and feels good.
Yes, it does. I'm actually out and about, so it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. I want to jump right into this, so I'm so excited to talk to you. I'd like to start off giving some information, some background information on the genesis of ENY, Entrepreneurs of New York. Just tell us what your vision and your goals were in starting this company.
Yes, it's interesting. I founded the Entrepreneurs of New York as a Facebook group on the fourth day of Kwanzaa, December 29th in 2010. But 10 years prior to that, I was part of a group looking to start a local national Black Chamber of Commerce in New York. And at that time, it didn't actually formulate. But the the over time we kind of regrouped and went on and did other things. But economic development and working with small businesses was always a passion of mine. And so I got married and had children, and but it just kind of, you know, you have this fire in your belly and it just never goes away. So I reached back out to the national office and asked them, well, you know, what is, you know, did anyone ever start a chapter in New York City? And I was told no. And when I said, okay, so now this, it must be meant to be. It must be meant for me to start this chapter in New York City. And when I started to go through the channels of what it actually takes to do it, the national coordinator said, okay, well, you're going to have someone who can be your figurehead and who can raise a lot of money, and you're going to have someone do this and that, and you're going to have to work with people who can only afford to pay a certain amount. And I said, wait a minute, you know, this is too restrictive. You know, when, as you all know, working with small businesses, you know, it's the bottom line, the annual budgets fluctuate, and not everyone can afford to pay the same rates to be part of a membership organization. Even though the benefits will be great, it's still, you know, everyone has a different, how can I say, you know, like I said, a different annual budget, and, you know, are not really able to afford certain price points. So when I told him that, he said, well, if someone can afford to pay X amount of dollars, then you shouldn't be working with them. And I really didn't feel that that was proper for me. I mean, if everyone has their own place, you know, in business, but I just felt like the way I wanted to work and help small businesses, that wasn't the right vehicle for me. So I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and she said, well, you know what you should do is just work with a group of businesses, and then as a group, you can incorporate your own chamber of commerce if you so choose. And that's how the Entrepreneurs of New York was born. And so but before I even tried to, you know, launch the company, I said I wanted to try it out on Facebook and just to see and kind of do some research and development, and just really so I can really understand what the needs were for the small businesses, because as you know, if you're looking to serve someone, you should really have a full understanding of what the needs are. So that's what I did. And so over the past year and a half, I've been recruiting and adding people to the group and that would represent all anything that we consume. I wanted to have people that's part of the group that offer, you know, such services. So, for instance, we buy clothing, we buy shoes, we buy, you know, toiletries, anything that we buy. I wanted to have representatives in the group so that we can promote buying and selling from each other. Cooperative economics is key, you know, in this. So in order for someone or a business to be successful, you have to have consumers. And anybody who knows and studies market research knows that especially African Americans are the number one consumer. So I said, mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be great. You know, I mean, we're the number one consumer, so, and then we have business owners, so we should be buying and selling. It should be a breeze. Not the case. So when I'm glad the topic is the good, the bad, and the ugly, because things are seen, you know, they're sort of superficial. You know, I mean, I assumed, you know, I was a little bit naive, to be honest with you, to think that people who are small businesses would be very open to buying and selling from each other, but that's not the case.
Mm. So you sort of read my mind, because my segue conversation for you was to just jump right into it. What is the good, the bad, and the ugly? And you said one of the things is that there's a lack of collaborative vision with
yes.
the business. Now, let's go back before we talk about that to the Facebook and just sort of
yes.
walk us through how you got that started and how you built the momentum with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see or does it just appear that Facebook is collaborative, or, you know, what's your experience with that?
Well, my experience has been good. I mean, my initial intent was to recruit people to be part of the Entrepreneurs of New York to practice cooperative economics. So my thought was if I, you know, and I was very methodical, by the way. I made sure that I didn't have, you know, 20 people offering the same service or product, you know, so that way, you know, if you have two or three in different areas, by the way, you know, that would really increase the chances of their bottom lines or their service, you know, services being purchased. That really has not been the case. I mean, we have a lot of people. There are a lot of networks out there, a lot of events, but there's so much happening. There's not a real coordinated effort to make sure that these events or people's products are purchased, you know, just what word am I looking for? Just I want to use the right term here because it's just that things are very much disorganized or all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, I found that, I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm saying that when you were talking about the disorganization, it seems like people put events up and then invite small businesses to come and vend at the event, and there's no mm-hmm. Collaboration between the vendor and the promoter or the organizer mm-hmm. of the event.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, and for me, you know, I want to support everybody. You know what I mean? That's, you know, but, you know, of course it doesn't, fiscally you can't really do that. And also with time, you know, we work, we have families. It's really difficult to be all places at all times. And so what I also would love to see more of, and I'm starting to see it a little bit, but what I would love to see more of are more collaborative events. You know, so if you have an organization or a network that, you know, hosts events on a quarterly basis, like the 1209 affair, they have quarterly events. And, you know, it would be great if other organizations could join and participate in their events as opposed to having separate events. Because, you know, you find even though there are a lot of people who are in the small business arena, it's kind of the circle can be kind of small. So you see the same people all the time. And so mm-hmm. I think we need to make a more concentrated effort to maximize, you know, our events, maximize our businesses. And so I'm hope that that's one of the goals with the Entrepreneurs of New York, to make sure, you know, just to kind of facilitate more of that happening so that everyone at the end of the day increases their bottom line.
So we want to leave that there for a moment. I want to just jump back because I think a lot of people, and we're only talking about the business aspect of Facebook right now, a lot of people are jumping on Facebook and perhaps not fully understanding the genesis or even the culture of Facebook in terms of helping them to market and connect their business. But you started out with Facebook, and you've built up momentum over the year, over the month and so. What was your process with that?
Well, what I did, like I said, my process was literally research and development. What I did is there was a few people that I knew already that I had connected with and knew what they knew, their business, knew their service. And so, you know, added them to the group. But then I started to literally think about, okay, if we want to truly practice cooperative economics and stop just spending our money anywhere and in a more concentrated area, what are the products and services that we utilize the most? And then I search for individuals or businesses to offer that. And so I recruited that way. And so what I found that happened was that people do a wonderful job at promoting what they do. They promote themselves very, very well. But when it comes down to promoting or supporting someone else, I didn't really see that. I don't see that as much. You know, so what I do, and, you know, again, this is what the service agency will do, is promote other people to make sure that your businesses are growing and developing. So when I know something is happening, I'll take it, you know, I'll post it, check this out, or, you know, be sure to support this, or, you know, this is a great product. If it's something that I purchased or, you know, have is very familiar with, I'll say it and endorse. For instance, there's a new candy store in Brooklyn called Huey's Chewies, right? Huey's Chewies Candy Boutique. And they're a wonderful store. It actually reminds me of the candy stores from back in the day. But they also have an area where they rent out and they plan parties, children's parties. So I had my 6-year-old's birthday party there, and it was phenomenal. So I was, because that was something that I actually experienced, I was able to go on to the group, and they are also a part of the group, and say, you know, this is a phenomenal place. Their services are wonderful. Their prices are great, because I truly experienced it, and that's what I try to practice what I preach all the time. And so I like to see more of that, and, you know, and with more work, I see it happening.
So, Sister LaShawn, are you finding when you bridge the conversation of cooperative economics, which is one of the principles of Kwanzaa, do you find that you're getting a positive response, or you're getting a response of need more information? How are the people you're connected with responding to this?
I think the people, the initial response is great. That's wonderful, you know, on a very one-dimensional level. But the and I don't think that people don't want to practice or support it. I'm not really sure what the exact issue is. What I do know is that people really move on based on relationships. So even though I may say, oh, this product is great, or so on and so forth, if someone doesn't really, like, say, for instance, if I say this to you and we've just met and you don't really know me, well, are you really going to take my word on it or not? Probably not. So that's what I'm finding, too, that the people that, you know, relationships are built first, I find that they support each other more. So I think that that is going to be very critical to this whole process. And so that's something that I'm taking into consideration to make sure that the individual businesses that I'm working with become much more familiar with each other. And I feel that I can do that through the agency.
Now, you know, I don't mean to be stuck on Facebook right now, but I know that it's sort of the, you know, the be all end all today in terms of how people connect with each other. But for the business person, can we build relationships through Facebook?
I think you can. I think you can build, a relationship. I mean, I think that it's, it needs to be nourished offline, of course. But I think that, initial relationships, sure, I think they can be developed on Facebook because, you know, I was able to connect with great people. In particular, there's a sister in London. She runs an organization called Black Economics Foundation. And what during my research, I find that they have similar interests and similar practices, you know, when trying to work with small businesses. And so we were able to connect and share ideas and so on and so forth. And we stay in touch, and it's not a superficial thing, you know. So I absolutely believe that you can. But I think it is equally important to, you know, follow up with emails and phone calls. You know, you have to go beyond just, you know, Facebook.
So you still have to have the person.
I think it's a great intro. Hmm?
Yeah. You have to have a personal touch, right? Because we're our culture. If you just want to focus on, you know, communities, you have to know the culture of the communities. And some communities are more people generated than, let's say, electronic generated.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some people who are just not going to be on Facebook, no matter what, you know, society says Facebook is. They just want you to give them a call.
Right. Right, and there's nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I think that what we, can also do, which is I'm glad you brought that up because there's a youth component that I'm developing through the agency. And for those smaller or perhaps more, I shouldn't say smaller, but you know the folks who run companies that are, you know, pretty much of a certain age and could care less about Facebook, that doesn't mean that their products or services or their stores should not be, or their businesses should not be represented on Facebook. So what I'm will be launching is a youth component where the encouraging a group of youth to put together a marketing and development business so that they can work with these organizations and they can create a Facebook presence for these businesses that, you know, have chosen not to go that route, just so that everyone again, is on an equal playing field, because that's one of, and just to hone in a little bit on, you know, what's part of the ugly part of this whole thing is the playing field is not level. It's not level at all, and it's a huge problem, and we're seeing too many businesses continue to close every day, and it has to stop. It has to stop.
So now what ages are your youth going to be? What ages would you start with?
I would start with about 15, high school age, you know, 15, 16, and through 24.
Now, will this be a partnership with the schools, or will this be after school on the weekends?
This will primarily be, you know, initially in, like, the summertime or, like, during school breaks, you know, where the youth will have more time, because I don't want to take away from their studies. But those who are out of school would literally do, you know, post-high school, if they're in college or haven't chosen to go to college, but, you know, they're out of high school, this is something they could do full-time.
Now, how are you getting the kids? Are you going through the school system?
I'll be recruiting from Facebook. I will be recruiting from, you know, organizations that are already involved with Entrepreneurs of New York. You know, for instance, right now I think there's like 1,019 people that are part of the, that are members of the group. If everyone, you know, literally referred a youth, you know, I literally, you know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't have to outreach or do major recruitment. All I have to do is send a message. One message, and that's how powerful, you know, Facebook can be. But also, but to answer your question, yes, I will be reaching out to the schools as well, you know, very much involved with the school system, you know, in New York. That's where I am, in New York City, you know, hence the name. But it's not limited to New York.
Okay. So are you thinking the tri-state area? How far out are you planning?
Well, I'm planning, literally, Entrepreneurs of New York, even though, like, the name of the organization, the name of the agency is named, you know, based on the where it started and where I am physically located. However, there are members of the group that are, you know, throughout the country and abroad, and ultimately the goal is to, you know, have, you know, to franchise and have other people such as myself do the same things in their areas. So potentially it could be worldwide. But initially, you know, probably will be the tri-state area, or probably here and, you know, in the South or on the West Coast. I have a very close friend there who could, you know, run a, you know, a similar operation where she is.
So we talked about some of the ugly things in small businesses, and we both agree that a lack of vision for collaborative economics is one of the things that, you know, is a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about some of the bad things, and let's talk about some good things.
Yes. Well, the good thing is that there's so many people who are striving to do for self and to be self-sufficient and to own businesses and operate and all that good stuff. That's beautiful. You know, when I see the amount of people who are literally, you know, in business, is a wonderful thing. You know, I love it. You know, but you know, we just have to make sure that everyone is maximizing their potential. You know, that's the other thing. And then it's not a bad thing. It's just that we can all benefit from working together and going to the next level. Because honestly, you know, if you ask the average small business person how they're doing or what their annual operating budget is, it's not that great. And, you know, and especially for those living in New York, it's very expensive to live here. So just to survive and to take care of your family, it takes a significant amount of resources. And so if we have chosen to do a great thing and own and operate a business, you know, and leave the, you know, the corporate world, then we have to make sure that what we're doing is lucrative enough to, you know, just maintain our household, you know, and make a profit. So I think that, so I will say that's a great and wonderful thing that so many people have decided to make that leap. That's great.
Yeah, so there's a definite growth in small businesses. It seems like on a day-to-day basis, I'm meeting more and more young people who are venturing out to work for self, do for self, and that's
yeah.
encouraging. Certainly, one of the good things, and I think that the concept of collaborative economics, working together to build each other, is a good concept, and I commend mm-hmm. you for just taking that initiative and trying to make
Thank
that
you.
You know, a part of the fabric of your business.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, I just when I walk outside and when I see, you know, the amount of businesses that you know, or owners that are outside, or you know, do not, you know, they come and make money here and then they leave. You know, it burns me up. You know, they need. So I really try to make it a point to support the people who are from the community, who are from our community, to make sure that their businesses, and that I do my part. You know, if I'm spending my money anyway, you know what I mean? So that's the point. It's like, if we're spending our money anyway, if we're purchasing goods and services from people, then, you know, we should be, why not? We're spending it anyway.
You know, I was thinking when you just mentioned purchasing goods and services, the small businesses today, are they, from your experience, home-based, internet-based, vendor-based? I mean, how are small businesses operating, functioning?
You know what? It seems like there's a large percentage of people who are operating home-based businesses and are part of these multi-level marketing companies. And so I see that a lot. I think I would say maybe more than 50%, honestly. And even with that, and without the overhead, you know, having to be, you know, having a store, so on and so forth, I don't see the, you know, a major you know, profits being made. So something's wrong. Something's still wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the complaints that I have encountered with, let's say, the vendor section of small businesses in New York, is a complaint that vendors or businesses pay to vend, they rent
mm-hmm.
the space, and the as we talked about a little earlier, the promoter or the coordinator of the event
mm-hmm.
does not promote the event, so the vendor ends up losing money because
right.
there's no people there to sell the merchandise or even to just increase awareness of their product.
Yes.
Have you
yes.
experienced that?
I have an experience. Well, yes, yes, yes. See, and here's the thing: it's when you using Facebook as an example, people will create an event and they'll promote it, and then you'll have people say, "Yes, you know, I will attend." And so you literally plan based on the amount of people who have, you know, submitted an RSVP, right? And this has happened to me. And you know, you plan for, say 100 or 200 people to attend, but then only 50 people show up. So there's, you know, really, you're sort of, you don't have the control based on what somebody says or they will or will not do. What definitely needs to happen outside of that is, now, and this goes back to what you were saying before, the follow-up phone calls, the emails. You know, you have to go a little bit further with connecting with people to make sure that your events are a success. And also, you know, again, building those solid relationships, you know.
Sister LaShawn, we're going to hold that right there. We have a caller on the line, and then we have Brother James that wants to ask you a question. I just want to tell
okay.
our listening audience that our call-in number is area code 646-716-5971. That's area code 646-716-5971. Let me read that again a little bit easier. Area code 646-716-5971, and you can also go to Blog Talk Radio, search the Nation Building, and then look for the keys and click on, and you can come into our chat room and ask us some questions and make some comments there too. LaShawn, Brother James has a question that he'd like to pose.
Yes.
Sister LaShawn.
Yes, Brother James.
Question I have. How are you, sister?
I'm okay. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm thinking that one way we can aid businesses is probably by putting together a black business directory. As years past, we've done that to aid businesses to have the walk-in or the call-in type of business. Is that something that you may be able to do with the 1,000 or so businesses that are involved with your organization?
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you asked me that. One of the things that I am just strongly opposed is reinventing the wheel. And so one of the things that I thought that that's what I would be doing as well, you know, creating a directory, so on and so forth. And then I came across someone who was in the process of building a directory. And she also has a Facebook group. Her name is Janine, and it's called Support Black Businesses. So I said, oh, great. You know what? I'll just link with this network or this person so that that work I would not have to do. And so that, so again, so to answer your question, we definitely should, and there are already some that do exist. And so my role, you know, the role that I like to take on is finding all of those people who have already done the work and make sure that they and number one, that the members that I have in my network are part of it and share it on my website once it's launched, which, by the way, should be completed by the end of this month, no later than early September.
Well, that is good. So, again, it's Support Black Businesses is the website if we're looking for.
It's a Facebook page she has. I'm not sure how developed it is, but I attended a conference and I got her information when I was at a conference about a year ago. And so I joined her, you know, page and, you know, periodically post things there. But that was literally the purpose for what she was doing, is to create a black business directory.
Well, that would be perfect, especially if it's an online service where we can actually go there to the website and look for a location for a particular service or product, or by name, you know, having a search engine within side of the service. And I believe that our businesses would generate more revenue because people will know where to find that which they're looking for.
Yes, and also, and so what, instead of developing the directory, what I will do is as part of my website, I will have a virtual mall where people can, you know, who don't have a website or maybe a vendor and may attend, you know, a certain event, you know, seasonally, will have the opportunity to have their products, you know, in a store. Through my website. So that's one of the other services that will be offered once the website is launched.
That is wonderful. And as well as calendar events, as you were saying earlier, that when you know of something happening, you put it out there to your constituents. And the other thing is the business owners need to know where the event is. And then, I mean, the event givers, the planners, have to understand, they have to respect vendors and help promote the vendors as well as their event. And
that's right.
It has to be a mutual respect thing, and that way we can have a healthier economy growing in our own community.
That's right. That's right. You know, and it was funny. I'm sorry, I don't want to go on. I was going to make another point, but Mr. Rafiki, you said there was a caller on the line?
Yes, Sister LaShawn, we did drop that call, but right now we're going to go to a commercial break, and
We
come back. I want to pick back up on what you were begin to talk about with the virtual store, and then we'll proceed further. Brother Forrest, we're ready.
This portion of the Keys on Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by The Fluffs Present the Alphabet, now found in paperback, sporting a 5-star rating on Amazon.com. Of the Keys was brought to you by the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, a virtual entrepreneurial service agency designed to increase productivity for small businesses operating and servicing urban communities worldwide. Remember, the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, ENY. You can find us on Facebook. This portion of The Key was brought to us by Moon107.com. Moon107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Moon107 is an online retail store featuring women's and men's clothing and a gift shop. The woman's shop features stylish tunics, suits, and accessories and offers the well-dressed woman an outlet to find the perfect gift for self or for someone else. The men's shop offers classy French cuffed shirts for the well-dressed man. The gift shop offers organic skin, hair, bath accessories, and inspirational music imported from Africa, India, and Asia, as well as jewelry and accessories. Moon 107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Don't forget to visit Moon107.com.
MAUN107. MAUN107.
The Keys with your hostess, Sister Rafika Muhammad.
Before we went to commercial break, you began talking about the virtual store. Can you elaborate on that concept?
Yes. There are many people, vendors, or not necessarily part of Entrepreneurs of New York, but we do have a significant number of people who have products and services that they, sell on their own websites or go to various events to vend. And so what I plan to do is to create a virtual mall where we can carry and sell products and services for members of Entrepreneurs of New York so that, they will not have to, number one, they have the opportunity to sell their products and services year-round. Two, they save money on having to create their own website. And three, it helps to market their services probably tenfold because, being part of a large network, a large group, you get to kind of advertise your the opportunity to advertise more so than if you were doing it alone.
So earlier you mentioned that one of the keys of the cooperative economics is to not have too many vendors or too many businesses selling the same product. So how would you sort of balance that with the virtual mall?
Well, the thing is, a mall, even a physical mall, only has a certain amount of space, right? So based on, the amount of space that virtual stores that will be able to fit will determine how many people can participate, number one. And then also, even though you might have a vendor, for instance, who sells clothing, such as yourself, but you can have a clothing vendor who sells different types of clothing, So I will be very mindful to make sure that we don't have a million people who sell jeans, or who sells bathing suits, just based on my experience, even within the Entrepreneurs of New York and the people who are currently part of the network, we don't have that many people who do the exact same thing, And it's also a way that, the competition is never, is not always a bad thing either.
Right.
It keeps people on their toes.
And I guess as you were saying earlier, having that personal touch of being able to talk to people and one thing I would like to see and I would like to practice in my business is that if a customer comes to me or a client comes to me or a vendor comes to me and I know that they're doing something that others are doing, I could say to them, well, you know, we do have four people selling jeans already. What would make yours different? And give them some
mm-hmm.
food for thought and some direction
mm-hmm.
on how they can better maximize their product and their customer base.
Yes, yes.
Yes, now I have a question here in the chat room here, and it seems like it's from Jason. And Jason wants to know, how important is it to separate a website or apart from Facebook? How important is a separate website apart from Facebook? Let me read that correctly.
Okay. How important is it to have a separate website than on? Well, because the thing is, even though Facebook reaches a lot of people, Facebook still has limitations. You know, a website you have much more control of over because, you know, I'm not sure how much you have experienced, or maybe Jason, you have experienced. But, you know, there are a lot of limitations, even though Facebook allows you to do certain things, but you still have to, you know, you're following their rules and their regulations. So I think in order to have complete ownership of your product, of your service, it is important to have a separate website if you can afford it or if you can maintain it. Now, again, if it's somebody who has a product or a service and they're part of Entrepreneurs of New York, they won't have to create their own website because then we can support it and we can sell their products for them on their behalf. So it just depends on what the purpose of the website is.
Okay, I'm going to come back to that virtual store because I'm very much interested in that concept. We have another question. How do the multi-level marketing entrepreneurs fit into the mix? Do they tend to dominate the group?
They do. They tend to... well, I shouldn't say dominate. There's a lot. Like I said, there's about over 50% of the group, I would say, work with multi-level marketing companies. So they do fit in, but again, what's very important is that we pay attention to what services are being marketed through these companies. So, for instance, we have right now, I think there's about there's a lot of people who are involved with Five Links. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with that company. But within that Five Links, this conglomerate, there are, you know, different districts, I guess, or different groups of people who promote the same product. And then you also have several people who represent Avon. You know, they sell those products. But it depends on – so it's not really a problem, but so if the person has a different way of marketing or are very they do it on a consistent basis, then I see those people benefiting more because they're constantly, you know, out there promoting, you know, as opposed to posting something once a day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, we have Brother Richard Muhammad, New York City. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
Yes, hi, y'all doing? Sister LaShawn. I just had a basic, simple question, if you want to call it that. What advice would you give to someone that might want to start their own business, but they're struggling with trying to find like a product that they may want to sell, or they really don't know how to go about getting into starting their own business?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, what I would say is there are several people. If someone were to ask me, you know, that question, you know, you asked me that question, I would say, okay, there's an organization or there's a company that runs workshops to help people and guide folks on how to get started, right? Second of all, I would want to talk to the person and find out more about what their talents are, because even if you are not really sure what direction you want to go in, sometimes it just takes that conversation to have someone else pull out of you, you know, what was already in, you know, what you already knew. And the third thing I would say is, and this is a wonderful thing about having such a large network, is, you know what, maybe you might want to connect with this person who's already doing the same thing or something very similar that you can work with or partner with before you branch out on your own, or even if you ever decide to branch out on your own. That's one of the things that I am also starting to focus on, is not to encourage too many new startups, because we have too many businesses that already exist, that have the experience, but are struggling. And it's mainly because of, you know, I think lack of personnel. You know, you have people who are, you know, doing 40 jobs and they're just one person because of, you know, lack of support, lack of resources. And so I think we can do a better job leveraging where that's concerned. You know, if people partnered up more and, you know, helped each other, everyone would benefit. So that would be the first, you know, the third thing that I would recommend to someone who wants to get started in a business.
Okay,
does that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. It just gets back to that, to the pool your resources idea, and I thank you for answering that.
No problem.
Community, the call-in number is area code 646-716-5971. That's area code 646-716-5971, and we welcome your calls. We welcome your comments. We have a comment in the chat room now that says, networking on Facebook drives traffic to your website, and your website will drive traffic to your location or virtual store. Do you agree with that?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Networking on Facebook drives traffic to your website, and your
mm-hmm.
website will drive traffic to your location or virtual store. That's one of the comments that was posted in our chat room.
Yes, I would agree with that, yes.
So now you talked about the virtual store, and
mm-hmm.
when you was talking, I'm wondering, how do you handle the checkout? You have multiple businesses with multiple items. How do
mm-hmm.
you handle the checkout?
Well, it like I said, it's being built right now, but what the intention will be is to have all the purchases done through the Entrepreneurs of New York and the payment transferred into the PayPal account of the business owner or the store owner. So that service is all being done administratively by the Entrepreneurs of New York.
So have you?
So it would be through a PayPal system. PayPal.
Okay, I'm clear with that. Have you already garnered businesses that are interested in partnering with the virtual store?
Yes, I have. There are a few. I haven't really marketed the option fully yet, but I'm sure there are people. For instance, about a year or so ago, one of the questions that I posed to people is, if you have a product or a service, would you be interested in pooling and working, networking with other folks to even start your own store? And there were people who were really interested in doing that in the physical store. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, virtually that won't be a problem.
Well, I'm going to keep in touch with you about the virtual store, and as you open it, we're going to just talk a little deeper about
yes.
it. I mean, it's a new concept. I think it's a great concept because, as you said, many businesses are you know, folding. I spoke to a lady yesterday who perhaps will be vending in one of the upcoming events that I'm working on,
mm-hmm.
and she said that she had her store in Long Island in Amityville for over 10 years, and
mm-hmm.
she's closing, and she's going to close the store because she doesn't have enough revenue to keep covering the cost of the rent. So her operating
exactly.
expenses are more than her profits, and she's going fully online. But now
mm-hmm.
when a company or, you know, a business goes online, there's always the question, well, how do you market now?
Right,
If you don't have the finances to pay your operating expenses, how are you marketing the business to make an online business successful?
Right, and see, and again, that is one of the main one of the great things about being part of the Entrepreneurs of New York, because that would be one of the services that you would get, and you know that's marketing, you know, and advertising. That would be you know, the store or the mall will literally be you know, marketed worldwide. You know, so there you, and so the relationships are already built, you know, ahead of time, and you know, folks are pretty much are anticipating the opening. You know, so there will be a lot of energy and a lot of purposeful marketing done before the launch or before the opening of the virtual mall. So I think that you know, anyone or any store, and again, the product still has to be, you know, there's not so much marketing you can do, but the product has to be up to par. The product has to be good, you know. And so that's going to be, and actually now that I think about it, that's going to be a very important part of, you know, continued success. You know, if your product and you know, and your service is being, you know, marketed as far as part of the mall, then when someone actually purchases it, they have to be satisfied, you know. So it's not, you know, so I'm going to be very, and I just want to put that out there, I'm going to be very, very focused on that and paying very close attention to that as well. You know, customer feedback, customer satisfaction is going to be very important on both ends.
So the virtual store partnership with you will give a business a place to do business,
mm-hmm.
and a marketing component.
Yes.
Now the marketing component will include Facebook and what else?
The website. The website itself. You know, at events. You know, I do attend events. I plan to attend more events. But again, and you know, being part of a lot of you know, networks and building relationships, you know, on purpose. So again, and I think I actually have a very excuse me one second. I have a knack for you know, making the right relationships and making the right connections. So that's why I can speak very positively, you know, on the fact that if anyone or any service or product is part of Entrepreneurs of New York's agency, will be promoted and marketed very well on a consistent basis.
Okay, now you know I'm all over this virtual store because I think that is one of the most innovative, the collaborative economic and putting it into the virtual store is just one of the most exciting concepts I heard in business within the last, you know, I would say year. Most people are focused on the structure, the brick and mortar structure of the building, and trying to guide people on how to set up that building, or how to set up that office space, you know, within their, you know, home as a home-based business. So those are the basic structures that people talk about when they're talking about starting a small business. But you just you knock the walls right out and said, we're going to do this virtually, and invite people to come in. And I'm going to leave that on the side for a moment. And then I wanted to ask you about the Kwanzaa Collaborative.
Oh, yes. That's the with the Global Business Incubation, the GBI?
Yes. So the Kwanzaa Collaborative is a part of the GBI?
Yes, it's actually it is a product of GBI. Global Business Incubation is a company based in Culver City, the Los Angeles area of California. And they have been, Paul McDonald, Antonio McDonald, as well as Lou Myers, have been working to build this company for over 20 years. They are the gurus of business incubation. And for those of you who do not know what an incubator does, it literally is a building or a structure that will house several, you know, businesses to, and they all share the cost. So they are the ones who are, they have this company where they're looking for the finances to open more incubators. They've already done it in Silicon Valley in California, and they're looking to expand. So the Kwanzaa Collaborative is part of their business. And so I've partnered with them through the Entrepreneurs of New York to, you know, to expand what they're doing in California to New York. Or in New York,
so,
I should say.
I'm not really clear on what the Kwanzaa Collaborative it does.
No, I'm
sorry.
The Kwanzaa Collaborative is a. If you, I'm not sure if you're looking at the brochure, but there's they have this thing called the 10 Smart Teams. Is that what you're looking at?
The 10 Smart Teams. Go ahead, explain what that is. Yes.
Okay. The 10 Smart Teams. Okay. So when you any new business, like Brother Richard was just asking, you know, someone, you know, may not have certain information or be unsure about certain things. So if there's the 10 smart teams are literally like a legal team, a marketing team, public relations, all the things that a new business would need to grow and thrive. And so what the 10 smart teams would do in this incubator is come together and work with all the businesses that are part of it so that they will, you know, so that they will be well nourished and that they will grow quickly and be self and sustain itself. So that's the structure of the Kwanzaa Collaborative.
Okay, now somebody coming into, let's say, the virtual store. Now, let me just ask this question this way. Anybody mm-hmm. that comes in under the umbrella of the Entrepreneurs of New York,
mm-hmm.
do they automatically partner with the Kwanzaa Collaborative? Do they automatically
yes.
partner with the virtual store?
Yes.
We have a caller on the line, so I'm going to hold my thoughts because I want to keep the caller waiting. So, caller,
okay.
are you there?
Yeah, we have
yes,
Jason. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Sister LaShawn, and thank you, Sister Rafika, for taking my call. The show is really interesting, and I'm learning a lot. Now, this is my question. Because this is the Entrepreneurs of New York, and New York is the hub of the world, basically, I
yes.
noticed that every ethnic group, you can point to an ethnic group here in New York, and you can basically point to a business that particular ethnic group controls. I was
mm-hmm.
wondering if Entrepreneurs of New York are thinking of taking an industry, aside from having their own particular businesses, but taking an industry and making it something that the Entrepreneurs of New York, vis-a-vis black people, control here in New York. You know, there's a vibrant tourism business here in New York
mm-hmm.
that even though there's been an economic downturn, New York has still been able to maintain its economic strength based on the vibrant tourist business. And I was wondering if there's a way that we can find an industry
mm-hmm.
to dominate as black people in New York, where you know that if you're going to a pizza parlor, it's going to be an Italian's, you know, the
yes.
same type of
yes.
thing.
Yes.
There's one thing that black people in New York have control and dominate, and if that is a good idea at all.
I am smiling so hard right now, Brother Jason. to answer your question, anything is possible. Okay, let me just put that out there. The second thing is, what I would say is, what I would look to do, and this is what I said this earlier. Not one person or two people have the answer to everything, and I think that question, that large and very important question, would have to be put out to the group of people that are in the network to say, okay, as a group, what can we do? What can we dominate collectively based on our skills and talents, right? Or what we already know how to do. What I would love to see us do is get into manufacturing. That is one of the things that I see as just gone, you know, pretty much. I mean, just America overall have gotten away from manufacturing. And it's interesting because my 6-year-old daughter, one day she's looking at her dolls and looking at her toys, and she's like, why is everything made in China? So I'm finding myself having a manufacturing conversation with my 6-year-old daughter. And, you know, so I had to explain to her, you know, why that is, and you know, and to a 6-year-old. And, you know, but it really made me think, you know, this is a huge problem. And this is, and the thing is, when we think about people, and I'm going to, and Sister Rafika, you can, I'm sure you can have add a lot of value to this topic, because as a person who has a, you know, online clothing store and, you know, and has a, have products that have to be manufactured, you know, you are literally having that service done outside of the country. You know, and that there's a lot of things that are being produced outside the country. So if we were to bring that back, you know, to New York and bring that service back, and, you know, it would definitely take a lot of training. You know, many of us have not been trained or, you know, really don't have the skill to do it. But it's not that it can't be taught. There was a research this, because I know that there were a lot of people who are designers that are part of the group, and my question for all of them is, who does your manufacturing? So that if I could find one plant for all of them to work with, then you see a cost savings. You know, so that's how I think when I look to work with and help businesses grow and develop. How can I help you increase your profits and reduce your expenses? You know, and so I reached out to Black Enterprise. I reached out to all these different companies that track businesses, and no one could tell me where a black-owned manufacturing plant was. And they told me about one that went out of business about 15, 20 years ago. I think they were out either in North Carolina or in Georgia. I'm not really sure. But it was a family-owned business. And the father started the company. The sons ran it for a while. And then, you know, they went out of business. And one of the sons actually, he left the company to start a furniture manufacturing company. And he's sort of still in business and is training his sons, but that's very limited. You know, that's within the family. And we need to take that and expand it and branch it out, you know, so that we as a community can begin to manufacture. So,
well,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you brought up the my business, which is Moon 107, which is women's tops. Yes, my garments are manufactured outside of the USA,
mm-hmm.
and I went that route because, number one, the types of garments I sell are indicative to the country, which is India, that my garments are from, and it was my intention to go to the source. And
okay.
However, if we had an opportunity to set up a plant here in the United States in New York, I'd be more than happy to look into that venture. But
mm-hmm.
to get the company started, it was the most cost-effective, and building community because I have such a relationship over the years with stores, retail
mm-hmm.
stores that sell those kind of tops. And when I needed the help, they were more than happy to, you know, to point me in the right direction, you know, not to give their gems away, of course, and take business away from them. But, you know, certainly we went to one location, and the lady is from Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in this country pretty much all her adult life, but
mm-hmm.
she goes back and forth to visit her family. And she said, oh, you're going to sell these tops. Oh, I have the best place for you to check out. And she gave me the website, and it just snowballed from there. And
wow.
It's been a positive experience. It's very enlightening, the whole process of doing business outside of America. There's
mm-hmm.
It's such a layered process.
Mm-hmm.
But the ladies that I'm working with, and I'll even continue working with them if I had a manufacturing plant here, because
yeah.
the relationship is so tight and so firm, it's so respectful.
Mm-hmm.
It's appreciative on, I think, both sides, but more so for
yeah.
me to be able to pick up the phone and tell them, this is my design, or can you alter that garment to fit this population that I'm dealing with that does have a strict requirement on the type of top that they wear? And they were more than compliant.
Mm-hmm.
Very humble. My labels are in the garments.
Uh-huh.
And that blew me away because, like we were talking earlier about cooperative economics, I haven't found
yes.
a company here that would take their label out of the garment and put my label
uh-huh.
in the garment.
I see. Yes, yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
And
yep.
that
mm-hmm.
was just, you know, and you know, when you're dealing with an entity, and it doesn't really matter where it is in the world, that is hungry
mm-hmm.
for business, that wants to do business with you,
mm-hmm.
because we represent something for them as well. Now they have a consistent client in the United States that they can put on their roster, which, you know, boosts their business up a bit too.
Yes.
But that whole doing business outside of United States, as you know, is a whole nother ball game, and it's a learning process. And if you don't go into it with the knowledge, you're going to get yourself caught up in a few ways. One of the products is actually made in China,
mm-hmm.
and we had some, you know, difficulties dealing with that aspect, not because of anything wrong, other than us not having full knowledge of what we were doing, and we learn by mistake. So we have a
right.
lot of information to give anybody that wants
mm-hmm.
to know about,
I mean,
importing, you know, a product.
Yeah, I mean, actually, if you know, mind me saying, that would be a great show to have, you know, just to talk about manufacturing and import and exporting businesses. You know, I think that would help a lot of people.
Yes, I would be more than happy, and that's something that, you know, the team, Jason, Forrest, and myself, and James have talked about too. Definitely we're going to go into that facet of business, because it is important to know that, you know, we do have somewhat friends in other places that we can
mm-hmm.
get products made. And the humbleness in them is this. One, when I said to the owner of the manufacturing plant. I'm looking to also sell bath and body products.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, give me a couple of days and let me get back to you. And what they did is we'll put together a whole resource of people, I guess they're friends or associates of theirs, and
mm-hmm.
sent all the information up to me immediately. So there was no, well, you're going to take business away from me. You know, I can't do that.
Right.
But
right.
that whole concept of cooperative economics is firm in this region of India that
you
I'm
see?
Dealing with.
Yes.
Now, I'm not
yes, going to yes,
generalize,
yes.
sister,
mm-hmm.
and say it's everywhere in India, but I can say that the circle that I connected with, it has been a great experience for me.
See, and see, and that's a great model, and that's and you know, and that's what's very important about, you know, doing your research, you know, and finding best practice models, and what, and especially if it works, and apply it, you know. Again, there's no need to reinvent the wheel if you know that there's a process that's already working. So I think that's
well,
great.
Yeah, and that's what you said earlier, and I appreciated that, even hearing you say that too, because that is certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gentleman on the line named. Hugh Truslin, and I hope I'm not, you know, really messing up the pronunciation of your name, but if you can come on in, we're ready to talk to you. You have some information that you want to share?
Yes, hi, it's Hugh, H-U-G-H, Trawlsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N, as in Nancy, and I want to congratulate LaShana and say that I would like to help her further expand and diversify what she's doing. I think it's tremendous, and the timing is absolutely perfect because it's entrepreneurs that built this country, and it's entrepreneurs that will bring it back to greater heights than ever. And we have
yeah.
to really look at what's been happening in business. I think America's been hijacked by big international corporations, and they're really mucking things up in Washington. I wanted to ask her if she's finding any resistance from any government regulations, and if she's bringing more entrepreneurs together to have the common interests that they can grow without hindrance by these big corporations that may want to shut some of them down. I know some of them with the multi-level are all for that, but there's others that may want to interfere and try and eliminate the competition.
No, I haven't found any resistance. Again, we are operating on a certain level right now, being on Facebook. And, you know, at the end, as I mentioned earlier, at the end of the month or early September is when the website will be launched and will be, you know, in full business. So thus far I have not met any resistance.
Wonderful. I don't have email myself, but if the host could share my phone number with you, I would love to speak with you and show you some ways to really help bring in more income for yourself as you work with these people and help you
mm-hmm.
help them at the same time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, I'll be happy to share your number with us, LaShawn. Can you give me a little background or give the community a little background on your business?
Well, I have had all kinds of experiences. I'm from New York originally, and I'm the son of very successful entrepreneurial parents. And my last name has global recognition in the food service field. If you Google Trawlsen, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, and Company Incorporated, that will pull up the corporate website for my father's company. It used to be headquartered in College Point, Queens. It's now down in Fort Worth, Texas, and he passed in 1990. He manufactured commercial refrigerators and freezers. When you pull up the site, when you see them, you'll see them in restaurants all over New York. They're in hotels, hospitals, schools, restaurants around the country and around the world. My mother was a supermodel back in the day, and she did all kinds of television and print ads. There's not too much on the internet, but if you Google Mrs. Harry Trawlsen and then put Bayside, B-A-Y-S-I-D-E, New York, it will bring up an old Life magazine issue with Marlon Brando was on the cover back in 1953. My mother did a full page Ipana toothpaste ad in that issue with my brother and one of my sisters. So that's a little bit of the foundation, what I grew up with. I did work for my father's company after getting out of the Air Force from 1968 until the mid-70s, and then separated, and I moved around and had all kinds of experiences, and actually worked at Union Carbide's world headquarters up in Danbury, Connecticut, and was there when the big gas leak in Bhopal, India happened. I was a contract security officer and was guarding them in their war room and stuff, and I've functioned as an independent international marketing consultant while working 100-hour weeks, and in the process, there's a site, HughTrawlson.com. If you go there and click on historical articles, one of my experiences entailed exposing a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud, who I believe was a CIA operative, and indirectly it eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame, the third highest office in the country. The original memo that triggered the article and attachments are there. The last item is actually a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy, dated July 7, 2009. So I'm around. I've been doing a lot of stuff. I'm coming out as I stand in my truth. I'm really looking to empower those who haven't been able to help themselves, to show how we've been jerked around and manipulated by the elites. It's time to understand that we all have unlimited creativity, and becoming an entrepreneur, it really gives you the opportunity to exercise your creativity, and that's what I want to show people. And to really start a home-based business is so important now, because if you can find out the interests of your children, and if you can get something going for them that they love, by the time they're ready for college, the tuition may already be paid for, or they may not want to go to college because they're set in a career that they love. And isn't that a beautiful legacy to leave?
Yes,
it certainly is. And Hugh, I'm going to personally make sure that LaShawn gets your telephone number so she can contact you. And I'm very excited about the possibility of what your alliance with her can be, so please keep me informed, LaShawn.
Yes, and, we'll do,
Hugh,
definitely.
Thank you so much for listening.
Well,
and spread the word
so
that the keys
for
is on the
bringing
air.
Me on, and your screener is delightful. He did say that I can't talk to you, you don't have the email, but I'm a visionary. I function differently than a lot of other people, but when I have to make connections, I do. And when I have, when I'm fully resourced, I envision myself burning out about 8 or 9 secretaries. I don't think one can take more than an hour at a time with me when I'm rolling out one business opportunity after another. And if you have just a couple of minutes, I don't want to take away from your show, but I'll give you an example of creative utilization of information.
Hugh, go ahead.
Yes. When you Google my name, Hugh Trawlson, look for a blog, creativity777.com. There's a little poem that I dedicated to my wife. That poem is also in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's in the it's discussed as a weapon against terrorism in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog, and currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. The poem's only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. So entrepreneurs do that. They bring out good products and services to people, and if they're giving back into the community, that's what we want to see for our future, coming together and caring,
okay,
sharing.
Okay, Hugh, thank you so very, very much. I'm going to make sure that LaShawn gets your number, and we have one more caller on the line who's been holding for quite a while, and I want to keep him there much longer, and then we're going to break for commercial and come on back and continue the conversation. So thank you again, Hugh.
Thank you.
Raymond, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Raymond, go ahead, ask your question.
It's more of a comment. I feel kind of embarrassed following Hugh, being so well-rounded and well-spoken. You know, kind of puts me on the hot seat. But I want to make sure that I'm still on topic. I think the caller before Hugh was talking about manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to own a semi-medium successful clothing line in the mid-90s. And my problem with manufacturing in the United States was with trade unions.
Mm.
Not that I'm anti-union or against union or anything. I think they're great, you know, and a necessary ingredient in the workforce. But my problem with the trade unions was I didn't sell. I could envision an idea, I could sketch an idea, but I had to get someone else to produce it. But in the United States, there was a different union for every piece of the garment that I wanted to produce. For example, if I wanted a zipper, I had to go to a specific part of the trade that only made zippers. If I wanted them sewn in, another piece mill company would sew them in. If I wanted buttons, someone would make the buttons, someone would have to put the buttons in. But if I submitted a sketch, an idea, or one completed garment to a person that I knew in China, within a day, no more than a day and a half, I could have back a completed garment. They would do all of the manufacturing, all of it in one place. So, you know, the turnaround was, you know, it was quicker, it was faster. I could get a garment, like, almost immediately. And doing it in the United States, having to go through so many different channels, I had to go, you know, there's a different union that puts the sleeves on, there's a different union that puts the label in the back. You know what I'm saying? It became a little pricey, but more than pricey, inconvenient. And the convenience of getting it to getting it from China was offset by the amount of tariff that it takes to get it back into the country. So it's not that it's cheaper to manufacture abroad. It's just more convenient when you want to get your product to a market quicker. That was my comment.
Raymond, James is going to come in. He wants to piggyback on what you said.
Yes, I don't know if it's going to be piggyback, but we're going to jump on the back of that one.
Excuse me. Oops.
Brother Raymond, I can say that I've faced that same situation, and I just recently manufactured some shirts, and I wanted some French cuff shirts, reasonable, be made. Could not find somewhere locally here in the States that would do for me the quantity that I wanted and the design. So I had to step outside of America and go into China and have them manufactured, and they worked with me, even though there were some manufacturers who said, well, we need to have, you know, 10,000 pieces made of this same item. I had to find someone who would work with me to produce the product that I wanted, and eventually I did. So I'm saying to you is, America makes it difficult to do business within America. You almost have to be a big business to do business in America, whereas across the seas, they work with you where you're at and try to develop and nurture a relationship with you because they believe that since you're in America, you're in the right place to expand your business and grow. And if they start with you from the ground floor up, they too will grow. So I just wanted to share that as well.
Yeah, and Raymond and LaShawn, I had a similar experience. There was no needing to go to any other source to make the garment other than the source that I contracted. Mm-hmm. Now, Raymond, was this a problem, or was this situation something that you knew about before you came, or before you got into the business, or you sort of learned as you went along?
No, I learned as I went on. I had no idea. I just woke up one day with an idea. And I said, you know what, I can do this. And, it's funny, you know, make no mistake about it. China is where most of the garments that we're wearing are being produced, even the ones that they say come exclusively from Italy, all the Louis Vuitton and all the other things like that. Problem is, when the markets are slow in China, I found this out the hard way as well. The same companies that are producing your garment, these are not counterfeits. These are the actual garments. They will flood the market with your garment to make up the shortcomings on what they're not charging you for manufacture.
That's another point to be considered, absolutely. Yes. LaShawn, do you have any comments on that?
Well, no, the thing is, you know, actually, let me ask you first. I had to put you on speaker. Can you still hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay. You know, this is all very, very interesting to me. One of the things that comes to my mind is when things are made difficult on purpose, you know, so that business has to be driven in a certain direction, that's what folks do. I think that we just need to figure out ways around it, you know, and it's not something that's going to be, you know, easy to do, but if you have a group of people who have decided to cooperatively work together to manufacture their products, you know, I see that, you know, it can be done, even if it starts on the small scale. You know what I mean? That's the thing that's coming to my mind and what's just making me just believe even more that, you know, working cooperatively is the way to go.
I agree with you, LaShawn, and I think that this is going to be a common thread from this point on in our show, is to find that thread that we all can sort of begin to weave that fabric.
Yes.
Everybody has a part of the thread and everyone knows how to weave, then we can make a garment.
That's right. That's right. You got it.
Well, we are almost near our next commercial break, but before we go, I want to share with the community and with Raymond that when I started the business Moon 107, I had a passion for the tops because I love that style of clothing. And I did not know all of the ins and outs of, first of all, I didn't even consider myself as an import business. I just want to do these garments. And there's a whole story on the website about how the company got started. And I just sort of went along and learned as I went along with the process, in dealing with India was a lot easier than dealing with China.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can order smaller quantities if you're a small business starting up with not a huge amount of cash flow, but you have some money to get started, some seed money. You can get garments and get your products at a smaller quantity. Like, for example, when we did the shirts, the men's shirts, we needed to do a minimum of 600 of the shirts. In India, I was nowhere near those numbers with the amount I needed, you know, per garment. So I was able to do 8 different styles or 5 styles and some multiple colors.
Wow.
In India, and order smaller quantities, it gave me more of a variety of a product.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's amazing. You know,
it is an amazing experience, and I'm more than happy to share that with your group, the Entrepreneurs of New York, whenever you need me to.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great. I did add you, right? You are part of the group.
Oh, I'm in the group already? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, now, LaShawn, before we go to commercial, it's very important. You have 2 more points that I want to talk about in terms of, you know, the fullness of who you are. I see that you're getting ready to launch a cable TV show called Black Reconstruction.
Yes. Yes. Do you want me to wait until the commercial break or to tell you quickly what it is?
You can tell us what it is, and then we'll go to commercial.
Okay. Black Reconstruction, again, one of the main things that I'm very passionate about is working with our community to grow our community, you know, to be self-sufficient. And about maybe 5-6 years ago, I took a course at City College, and a history course, and we studied, a part of it was studying the Reconstruction period. And I, you know, had never, you know, being educated here in New York City, had never been taught about post-slavery and Reconstruction and what that meant. And I was just, I was blown away at how much development was done post-slavery when it was through something called the Freedmen's Bureau, where community, that's the era when we were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule. So we all know how that went. But the, you know, there were a lot of independent communities that surfaced. You know, schools were built, you know, houses, businesses, and all this stuff. And it was because we had no other choice. I mean, you know, slavery was over. We left the plantation, and we had to survive. And so my thought was, if this happened in, you know, 65 to 77 or something like that, in 2000, in the 21st century, you look around, what happened, and why, you know, and we know what happened. I mean, we have Jim Crow, and we had the black codes, and we had all, you know, integration and all this stuff that happened. But, I mean, just as a people, it doesn't seem like we have an
an interest or seem to have lost hope in even being able to do that, to be self-sufficient again. So Black Reconstruction, the show, will examine that time period in history when we actually accomplished this and to look and see how we can recreate, you know, the Tulsa, Oklahoma's and the Roseville, Florida's, and this time not have it be so far and few in between, but, you know, on every other block.
LaShawn, I want to go so deeper into this, but I know I got a break for commercial. And then when we come back from commercial, I want to talk to you a little bit about the ENY Virtual University, and then we're coming up with the Gidget Report. So let's go to commercial now, and then we come back. Let's go.
This portion of The Key was brought to us by Moon107.com. Moon107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Moon 107 is an online retail store featuring women's and men's clothing and a gift shop. The woman's shop features stylish tunics, suits, and accessories and offers the well-dressed woman an outlet to find the perfect gift for self or for someone else. The men's shop offers classy French cuffed shirts for the well-dressed man. The gift shop offers organic skin, hair, bath accessories, and inspirational music imported from Africa, India, and Asia, as well as jewelry and accessories. Moon 107, fashions and gifts that bring out the best in you. Don't forget to visit Moon107.com.
M-A-U-N-107. I have to make it quiet.
This portion of The Key was brought to you by the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, a virtual entrepreneurial service agency designed to increase productivity for small businesses operating and servicing urban communities worldwide. Remember, the Entrepreneurs of New York Incorporated, ENY. You can find us on Facebook. Unlocking the doors to unlimited possibilities.
Okay, wow. I don't know what you said before commercial break, but the phone lines lit up. So we're going to go to one caller.
The Keys with your hostess, Sister Rafika Muhammad.
Sean, my engineer is pushy. He's going to make sure that every one of those gets in, no matter what.
Okay.
Okay, so we're back with The Keys, talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, with running and sustaining, operating and sustaining your own business with LaShawn Allen Muhammad, the CEO of the Entrepreneurs of New York. And we're getting down to the nuts and bolts here. And you are getting ready to launch, or have you... Has it been launched already, the ENY Virtual University?
No, that will be part of the website. And what the ENY University is a platform for online training, webinars, so on and so forth. And what's also going to be part of it is on the website is called the Professional Business Bureau. So what that means is, you know, the businesses or folks that are a part of Entrepreneurs of New York, as, you know, some of the people who have called in yourself are experts in certain areas, And so what we'll be doing is having those folks, give them the platform, the opportunity to host their own webinars and bring their information, you know, to the masses through the website. So, you know, and again, my whole goal is through cooperative economics is to help everyone increase their bottom line. So any, registrations or fees, they'll also have an opportunity to, you know, make money through the website by hosting, you know, webinars or training seminars.
Well, LaShawn, you and I are going to talk a little off air about that because in the spirit of cooperative economics, my company, Rafika Consultants and Services, does just that service. We design virtual learning environments.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh.
But we'll talk about that because we're really running out of time and we have a surprise guest who has some great comments that he wants to bring up. But I want to get to the Gidget Report. So, Sister Gidget, if you can come on and give us your report for today or the week, and then we can go right back to that caller on the line who is, I'm sure, someone that everyone needs to hear from. Sister Gidget?
Assalamu alaikum, family. How are you this evening?
I am well, but...
Okay, Mubarak to everyone. Sister LaShawn, it's good to finally hear a voice to go along with that face that I once saw in nation building. And I pray that everyone is doing well, and I pray that everyone's E will be blessed. I'm just going to be on here real briefly to give you a schedule of the Nation Building Network. On Mondays, we do not have a show. On Tuesdays, we have what we call the Real FOI. It comes on 8 p.m. Central Time, which is 9 p.m. Eastern. But this Tuesday, we are having a family reunion. So that means that the Nation Builder Network, everyone is going to call in for a few minutes or hang out for the duration of the show, and we're going to talk about our experience and the history of nation building. So that show will be on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and, like I said, 9 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar, who is our engineer, I think he will have an author on this week. And those of you who may not listen to the show, it's really not all about hip-hop. There's a variety of musical genres that he actually is into. There are authors there. There are real-life celebrities sharing their real stories, and that show is on 7 p.m. Central Time. On Thursday, we'll have Nation Building Presents, and our topic this week will be justifiable injustice. And so we will have Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, who is a criminal justice specialist, who will talk to us about the judicial process. Next Saturday, of course, you guys are on, and Sunday, who knows? But coming in September, we have the Youth Center, which that is a program that is going to be directed, written, produced, and engineered by our youth. So we are gathering them, and so we can teach them and get them familiar with the process and hopefully inspire them to go on and create independent media of their own. And that's the end of my report thus far. So I pray that everyone has a blessed Eid. Eid Mubarak to everyone, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Gidget, and I just want to let you know that the Keys will tune in and call in and be happy to be a participant, as we are your youngest members of the Nation Building Cooperative Economic Plan. LaShawn, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Engineer Forrest, can we bring on that special caller right now?
Yes, it's my honor to introduce the summit, present to others the New York representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Student Minister Mas number 7, Brother Abdul Hafiz Wahami.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Hafiz. Yes.
To the nation building family. And Ramadan Mubarak in the last day of the fast, and tomorrow will be Eid Mubarak for all of us, and the Eid prayers. And greetings to you, Sister Rafika, to you, Sister LaShawn, and to all of those who are making the Keys successful. Every door requires a key, and every repeat requires a door in order for it to be operable. So we are honored to be on such program.
Well, we thank you so much for taking a moment of your very busy schedule to call in and support the show. And
indeed.
Yes, sir. And we're talking, as you've been listening with Sister LaShawn, about the concept of cooperative economics.
One of the pillars of
the principles of Kwanzaa. And I think it's a good spirit in business. And would you like to give us your thoughts on that?
The principle of Kujikajali, or cooperative economics, is a principle that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Nation of Islam, took to its highest level. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad left spiritual teaching to deal with business from his office desk. It made him become very shrewd, so shrewd that he would nurse himself from the lectures of his national representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Starker. And so when we're dealing in business, we must remember that the slow nickel is worth more than the fast dime, and therefore service must be out front. And the better we serve our people, then the more they will return, and the better good we can give them, and the more they return, and the better price we give them, then the more they return, and the better the service that we can provide. And so someone has to break this cycle of this rugged capitalism that only sucks the blood or siphons off from the people rather than a fair exchange. When you have a barter system, it's a decent exchange, and that benefits the one who's bartering and the one who barters. But in the capitalist system, it benefits those who have versus the have-nots. I was looking at a program called the Hatfields and the McCoys, and one of the Hatfields said when he was dealing with the timber on the mountain that he controls, he said that all this is about those who have money and those who don't have money. So we look in this modern time. But cooperative economics is not about what someone has. It is what someone can take and that they can utilize, either made by their own hands or by someone else, or what someone can provide to help someone else. And so those are my thoughts where that is concerned, and I enjoyed listening to what I heard earlier. And, you know, when we begin to network, you know, what is the root of the word networking? It's a net. It's that which captures the best skill and talent that each of us have to offer, and we put it to use for the service of our fellow brothers and sisters and benefit of one another. There's nothing wrong in Islam with having a prophet, but Allah says that he will block out all forms of usury and he will cause charity to prosper, because usury usurps your fellow human being of what they have, but charity allows a blessing to come from that which you can always give back to the people, and the people can give back to you.
Yes. You know, Minister Hafiz, as you were speaking, one thing that came to my mind is the parable of the stick, and how when you have one stick, you can snap it in half and snap it in many places and just break that stick and destroy whatever strength that stick had. If you put a bunch of sticks together, it's more difficult to break the stick.
Indeed. Which means we should never exist to ourselves. Each of us are born codependent. The only independent existence is Allah. Each one of us born from the womb of a woman by the agency of the life germ of the father or the man is born codependent on another fellow traveler who came out of another womb on another day and another time and another month, but on the same planet. So we all need one another. And when we bind ourselves together to do for self and kind, and we just came out of the month of Ramadan, of the reading of the Quran, and in Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow, it talks of contract deeds and evidence, bringing the scribe, bringing the number of witnesses, writing it down, not taking it to memory. And if you do take it to memory, holding the person accountable to make your word your bond. We have to know what it is to have the cost of doing business and not do business. You know, you can't have a hustler mentality when you're talking about cooperative economics. You can't invest $300, make $500, then spend $400 and only put $100 back. You know, if you make $3 and you make $5, you put the whole $5 back. So now you turn $5 into $750 and $750 into $1,800. And $1,800, you don't take out for yourself first. You make sure the workers get paid first. You make sure that the overhead is taken care of. And then once you see a running balance, then you can decide that you can have a little bit for yourself, but think of those that help make your business run. These are just some ideas and thoughts that will help us to better understand cooperative economics. When someone else comes to the table and they have the finance, you know, in the book, The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill, it says that there are those who have money but have no ideas, and those who have ideas who have no money. When you put them together, you marry wisdom with wealth. Well, when someone comes to the table with more money and you have sweat equity, don't act like you put more money on the table. And the person with more money, don't act like you put the sweat equity. Give each other their just due. And give to the person who puts the sweat equity their share, and give to the one that put the money in their share, and those who have the contact their share. Now you have a cooperative economics where we're all working together under the same roof and for the same cause and for the same purpose.
Well, since we're touching on the principles of the Nguzo Saba, I wanted to also just give you a few moments, Minister Hafiz, to talk about your umoja, your unity, and how your that is spilling out into the communities in New York and around the surrounding areas.
Oh, my dear sister, we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for whatever we were doing, for him re-energizing it, for him taking it to the next level. And the love of the people when they see the fruit of Islam. We just left 140th Street between Willis Avenue and Brook Avenue in the Bronx, speaking at 140 Park for Ernie Day, the day for those who've been killed in our community and others who passed away. And the people just love us. Those who know us, those who don't know us, Spanish-speaking people, assalamu alaikum, giving us the greetings. We don't care what faith it is. We need to stop the violence. You know, we are working feverishly in these communities. And I thank brothers like Brother Forrest Muhammad. I thank Student Captain Richard Muhammad. I thank the members of the Fruit of Islam. I thank the young members of the Youth Bar, Student Minister Sheer Muhammad, Brother Hakeem, and Brother Obafemi, and Brother Tariq, and Brother Alton, and all of the young ones that are just rolling with me as I'm rolling with them, 4 and 5 places at a time in a day. We're just doing this mighty work, and we're feeling good about it. We're feeling good in the month of Ramadan and the fast and the reading and the praying, and we're feeling good that we're out here getting mud under our shoes, saving our own souls and helping our people to save themselves. Thank you for such a question and an opportunity to give such an answer.
Brother Minister, this is Brother James.
Assalamu alaikum,
sir.
My brother in strength. Wa alaikum salam.
Brother, I want to say to you, Sister LaShawn is on board here, that it is essential when we set up the keys, we knew that spirit would be the driving force between everything that we are trying to create. The businesses, we know that we can't sustain ourselves without business and economics, but we have to have the right spirit. So it's great that you came on at the close of this this talk today, and we want to ask you in front of all our listening audience, would you participate with us periodically on our show and help bring the spirit to everything that we're doing in terms of making peace?
Surely. I would love to, my brother. This is why I called in now. I looked up and I saw the text, and it said, call in. And I said, well, it must mean that I should call. So I dialed the number, and here we are. Praise be to Allah. And yes, my brother, you have me as an advocate and an agent and a helper and more so a servant to you. And this initiative of the key and the nation builders, much love of Assalamu alaikum to Sister Gidget Muhammad out of Texas, and all of this effort that's being put forward. And, brother, you have me here as a servant and a helper in this regard where this is concerned and moving forward. And I'll say, I know that you had the Reverend Buster Sorries on, and he was talking on debt and debt reduction. And there's a prayer that we have from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of the Illuminating Revelation in book form called Message to the Black Man. It's a prayer for freedom and self-independence, and it says, oh Allah, I seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief. and I seek thy refuge from lack of strength and laziness. I seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness, and I seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice thou me, provide for me that which is lawful, and keep away from me that which is prohibited, and with thy grace make me free from all want of what is besides thee. These are eight nouns, eight things that adversely affect our will, anxiety and grief. And another time we can break each one of these down.
Minister Hafiz, yeah. I want to just tell the listening community that this is only a miniature sample of what Minister Hafiz is going to give to you and bring to the table. But we're getting ready to run out of time, and I do not want you to be cut off.
The program. Thank
yes,
you for
sir.
Having me on, and I just wanted to support and buttress what you all are doing.
That prayer was so appropriate. It was so appropriate.
Thank you.
I'm just going to ask
Michelle
to give the closing words, and you can just hold on the line, Mr. Hafiz.
All right.
Sister LaShawn, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Yes, you can just wrap up with some closing remarks. And remember, you know, where this is the keys, opening the doors to endless possibilities, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to say thank you so much, Sister Rafika, Brother James, Brother Forrest, Sister Gidget, for having me on. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, this is the beginning, you know, that all things are possible as long as we work together, as long as we practice the principles that Minister Hafiz just spoke of, and as long as we, you know, keep Allah first, you know, make sure that we, you know, remain focused, and the sky's the limit.
That's right.
And my motto is never give up.
Yes.
Thank you, listening community, for joining us on this really exciting episode of The Keys, opening the doors to endless possibilities, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll see you next weekend from 5 to 7 p.m. on Ramadan Mubarak.
The world's disaster could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. Is that all you need?
Merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, as none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. From mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets? Why?